Good to be saved tonight, isn't it? In the Lord's house. I'm going to try to mention a few little thoughts tonight that I hope will be an encouragement to you in one way or another. And I've just wrote down some notes. And I'm amazed at the songs we sang tonight. And it being prayer meeting night, I'm going to try to make a few comments, the Lord being my helper, on prayer tonight. I think if there's anything that's lacking in our church, in most churches, it's prayer. And we'll never go any further with God than what our prayer life goes with Him. And we'll never obtain much of the Lord until we learn to pray and ask of it. He said, "You have not because you ask not." And how true that is. And we can't expect to receive of the Lord what we, every good gift and every perfect gift cometh out of the Father of lights, with whom is no variables, neither shadow of turning. And if it's a gift, then apparently it's something that's asked for. You don't get too many things unless you ask for it. It's light. But I want to read a few verses out of Psalm 65, if you'll turn there. And I'll read the first four verses and bring you the thought out of verse number four. Let's stand together, please. Psalm 65. And we'll begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible said, "Praise waiteth for thee, O God, in Zion. Amen. Unto thee shall the vow be performed. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Iniquities prevail against me. As for our transgressions, thou shalt purge them away. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple." Now may the Lord add His blessing to that. Let's pray, and I'll try to make just a few quick remarks tonight, and we'll go home. All right, let's look to Him in prayer. Our Father, I stand amazed tonight at the songs that we sang. So many that dealt with this matter of prayer. And what a great privilege it is that we have to enter into the very throne room of the God of glory, to the King of kings and the Lord of lords, to the King of glory, and there to make our requests, our petitions known unto God. And Lord, I realize more than I think some tonight that prayer is the key that's going to unlock the door to the blessings of God upon our church, upon our families and our lives. So I pray, Lord, that You'd bless me and help me just for a little while as I try to bring a few feeble thoughts on prayer, try to be a blessing to the people of God. I pray that You'll save such tonight that's lost and without You. You'll stir up the hearts of the children of God that they meet with the Lord in prayer. And we'll thank You and praise You for doing it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank You, and you may be seated. Verse number 4, blessed is the man. Amen. Now the Lord pronounces a blessing upon that man that the Lord, it says, whom thou choosest. And I want you to underscore that in your Bible. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest, and then he causeth to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. And so those that are blessed of the Lord, they're chosen, and then God gives them great cause to approach unto Him for the purpose of dwelling in His courts and for the purpose of being satisfied with the goodness of the Lord. And so having said that, I want to say a few things to you tonight about prayer. All men are called upon to pray. It's not only the preacher's responsibility to pray. It's just as much a responsibility and a privilege of those that sit in the pew as it is a man of God that mounts the pulpit to preach the Word of God. And a man of God will never be much of a man of God unless he learns to pray. And we'll never learn to be much of a Christian unless we learn to pray. And your family will never obtain where it ought to obtain in Christian, the realms of Christianity, and you learn to pray the way God wants you to pray. Now, all men are called upon to pray. But notice the words of our text. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest that he may approach unto thee. All men are called upon to pray, but not all men reach the same degree of blessing. I think of men, when I think of men of great prayer, I think of men like David Brainerd. If you've never read the book about David Brainerd, it would do you well to read that book. Brainerd was a missionary to the Indians on the East Coast. And he was to marry the daughter of Jonathan Edwards. I don't think that marriage ever came about. He died at a very young age, probably from tuberculosis. But in the years that he lived, they tell me in the book that no man prayed like David Brainerd. And they say that he could pray literally in the snow and pray with such fervency that he would melt the snow around his body. Somebody said, "Preacher, I don't think you ought to be. You can pray that way." Well, apparently the Lord thinks so. He said, "The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." And that word fervent means to come to a boiling point. And there's not too many of us today that I know that are boiling in the closet of prayer. There's not too many of us that I know today that are really excelling in this thing that's called prayer. And I'll tell you, we're living in poverty, spiritual poverty, because we've never learned to reach heaven with our heart and pull down the blessings of God around us. By the way, that's what prayer is us engaging God's heart with our heart and then pulling down the blessings of God around on us and those that are around us. Prayer is engaging our spirit with His spirit and communicating with Him. And there's not men that are born like David Brainerd. I think of a man by the name of E.M. Bounds. I'd venture to say that probably not over five men, if that many in this building tonight, have read the book about E.M. Bounds. Bounds was a Methodist, by the way. But oh, I'm going to tell you, he knew how to pray. He was a chaplain in the, was it the Confederate Army? He was a chaplain in the military, but it wasn't the Confederate Army. I was just pulling Brother Steve's leg back there. But he was a chaplain, and E.M. Bounds knew how to pray. He wrote books like The Power in Prayer. And Prevailing in Prayer, The Preacher in Prayer. Many books that E.M. Bounds wrote on prayer. I remember some years back I was sitting out on that little patio Brother Robert built for us up at our other house. And I was sitting there meditating on the Word of God. And I was sitting there meditating on what I could do to have more of God in my life. And I was reading the book, one of the books of E.M. Bounds. Boy, and I'm telling you, it hit me in the heart like a ton of brick. As I sat there and read that, I happened to look up, and inside those sliding patio doors sat that old orange ottoman. And the Lord said, "There's your answer. There's your answer. That ottoman sitting there's your answer." And he called to remembrance the nights that I spent alone with God in Greenville, South Carolina, on that old orange ottoman, praying down the blessings of God upon my life. Now, I want to say, ladies and gentlemen, that tonight there ought to be a call back to prayer. Oh, God needs to call us back to Bethel tonight, back to the house of God, and back to the house of prayer. For he did say in the Bible that my house shall be called a house of prayer. Now, I'm telling you, we've made the church everything today but a house of prayer. We call Wednesday night meeting a prayer meeting service, and it is everything but a prayer meeting service. Amen to God. Come on in the house now. Blessed is that man whom thou choosest and causest that he may approach unto thee. Hallelujah. That he may dwell in thy courts. I'm telling you, behind that veil in prayer is a real way of life. It's not just an occasional thing, but it is a way of life, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. That's right. Now I think about these men. Now not all men are going to excel to the degree in prayer that these men did. I certainly haven't. And I don't know too many modern day preachers or people in the pew that really have. Now, we are to pray daily. We are to pray daily. But not on every occasion does God meet with us in equal power. I've prayed many times in heaven has felt like brass. I've prayed other times and it was just like God opened the throne room door and said, come on in, and invited me into that throne room of grace. No, I'm telling you, there's nothing like getting in that holy place. Now, I don't want anybody to have any Pentecostal visions or dreams about the holy place tonight. Amen. I hear what I'm getting ready to tell you. I never heard of it. Brother Frankie Bryant said he heard a Baptist preacher. And after the service, I guessed exactly who it was. I went to him, whispered in his ear, said, was it so and so? He said, that's exactly who it was. And here's what the Baptist preacher said. He said, I've been in that holy place before and butted heads with others that are in there. Now, I'm going to tell you, I don't believe a word of that. I've been in there a few times and I've never butted heads with anyone. Hey, we don't need to butt heads with somebody else in there. We need to butt hearts with God that is already in there waiting on us. Amen. That's right. I'm telling you this, some of this foolishness that's going on in Baptist churches today to try to make men look spiritual. Why don't we just get down to where we're living and just go to God and say, Lord, we're absolutely nothing unless you touch us and help us by the grace of God. And Lord, we'll never learn to pray unless you help us pray. His disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. And you're not going to learn how to pray on your own. It's going to take somebody to teach you how to pray. Now, I don't know whether that somebody is a man of God, or I don't know if that somebody is the Holy Ghost. I think it'd be a little bit of both. I think I can certainly set an earthly example. Now I think the Holy Ghost can teach you how to pray. Amen. He certainly can. Amen. When the Bible talked about praying in the Holy Ghost, that's exactly what the Bible means. Thanks God. That's right. Now, what about prayer? Prayer is a very, very holy exercise. We think prayer, hey, I want to say this, that you're not going to just run into the throne room of God's grace cold turkey, so to speak. You'll never pray much without getting in the Bible. The Bible and prayer go like a hand in a glove. And if you're going to pray, you're going to have to learn to read your book. Because I'll tell you, that Bible will stir your heart up to pray. And God will communicate with you through that book. We've got the idea today that God, I believe, meets with us in visions and dreams, not in your life. I'll tell you, God will communicate with us out of that Bible. Out of that book. Better believe he will. And I'm going to tell you that, hey, if he ever nudges your heart from that book, it makes prayer easier. You ever been reading all at once, something just pop you in the heart like that? And that scripture just grabs a hold of you and grasps you, and it's like a lariat, it won't let you go. Somebody said, I've never been there. Shame on you, I have. Amen. I'm going to tell you, like I said, I've had to roll around like a cow chewing on a cud for a long time. And I've got scriptures tonight that I still go back to every now and then that God spoke to my heart out of years ago. And I still go back to them same scriptures. Hey, they're just as fresh today as they was then. Hallelujah to God. Thank God they're just as real today as they was then. They're just as precious today as they were then. Amen. Now I want to show you something. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. And verse number 14. I'll just read the one verse for the sake of time. He said, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. There is the Trinity at work in our prayer life. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, I tell you, you want grace? Learn to pray. Oh, what a holy exercise it is to get in the throne room with God and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be poured out without measure upon our heart, upon our life, and upon our soul. I tell you, God that loves the unlovely can help you, and I love the unlovely as well. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And I'm going to have to hurry. I got a long way to go. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, and the love of God. Where else in prayer can you learn about grace and the love of God? But in prayer and in that book. Buddy, they go together. Amen. Hallelujah. I never knew God loved me so much until the Bible told me that he loved me. And then he proved that love to me in the close of the prayer. And then he talked about the communion of the Holy Ghost. Be with you all. Amen. All of you. Amen. Communion. And by the way, that is what praying is. It's communicating with God. And the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Can you get a hold of that tonight? That God allows us, oh, dirty, filthy, unworthy sinners, or to be in hell with our neck broke, and yet he'll let us enter in on holy ground, pull our shoes off, amen to God, and communicate with God through the Holy Ghost that he's given unto us. Hallelujah. I want to say also that prayer is our solace in time of trouble. There ain't nothing like praying when you're in trouble. I'll guarantee you. Listen to what the psalmist said in Psalm chapter number 34. You can follow me through these verses. It won't hurt you to read your Bible a little bit. Amen. Psalm 34. I believe that's right. Psalm 34, verses 4 through 7. He said, I sought the Lord. How that you going to say? And he heard me. That tells me he's praying. I sought the Lord and he heard me. And what did he do when he heard me? And delivered me from all of my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened. And their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried. And the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. I'm telling you, prayer is a solace, ladies and gentlemen, when we're in trouble. You know what we do most time when troubles come our way? We draw back from God and draw away from God and expect the Lord to take it up, just to take pity upon us without our aid. asking Him and deliver us from our trouble. Now, I'm telling you, it don't always work that way. God is a pitiful God, but at the same time, God expects us, ladies and gentlemen, to seek Him in time of trouble, and He will deliver us from our troubles. He's a soulless time of trouble. He'll comfort your heart. I got in a little trouble last night. Didn't intend to. But I got pretty well raked over the coals at the close of the service last night by another preacher in the crowd. And just one of them things, you know. And it's the problem's his, it's not mine. Hallelujah to God. And I didn't say a thing about the man either. He's got a strong imagination. A lot of preachers do. They got a strong imagination. And they get troubled. I want to show you something. They get troubled. And people get troubled. And rather than going to God for solace in their trouble, they will try to avenge their problem and avenge their trouble. They'll make matters worse every time.
Amen.
You say amen to that? Come on in the house now. I want to say thirdly, prayer is our support when we're in our weakness. Oh, Brother Paul, and I'm not going to turn there in Acts chapter number 27. When they were on their way to Rome and that great storm, Euroclydon, came upon them. And Paul said that the great tempest laid upon them, and he said, and all hope was gone that we should be saved. All hope was gone that we should be saved. You ever been there? You ever got in a place where you thought all hope was gone?
Amen.
That there was no need to try anymore?
Amen.
Amen. That's the way they were. But old Paul, hey, went down into the ship. And after many hours down there alone with God, old Paul came up with the answer, ladies and gentlemen. And he said, not a man on here, or not one hair on your head will be lost. You know why I can say that? He had been in the holy place with Almighty God. Amen. He had found that throne room of grace, and God had answered his prayer. When all hope was gone and men's hearts were faint within them, still God was able to give the deliverance. Now I'm telling you, when men are weak and when men are faint, when they're weebling feet,
amen,
and all hope is gone, pray. Pray. I'm telling you, as long as your heart is able to cry out to God, ladies and gentlemen, you don't even have to cry with an audible voice. Amen. Even the Spirit, with groanings which cannot be uttered, will divinely intercede in prayer for you and I.
Amen.
That's right. He's our support in weakness. Hallelujah to God. He'll hold you up. Prayer will hold you up. When nothing else will, your prayer life will support you and hold you up. I want to say He's a solver of doubts and perplexities.
Yep.
Here was Paul out on that ship on their way to Rome. That great storm lay upon them, and all hope was gone that they should be saved. There came doubts. There came perplexities. And I'm going to tell you something. God's the solver of all doubts, and prayer, rather, is the solver of all doubts and perplexities. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, it never gets too dark for God.
Amen.
Yes. Amen. That's right. In one of the darkest hours this world has ever known, 400 years without a peep from heaven between the Old and New Testament.
Yes.
They hadn't heard from God in 400 years, ladies and gentlemen. You get a hold of that, be a pretty dark. You think we got a rough.
Right. Amen.
Israel hadn't had a prophet in 400 years.
Amen.
God hadn't uttered a word in 400 years. How would you like to come to church for 400 years and never get nothing? You say, praise God, it's bad now. It ain't bad now. We got it pretty good right
Amen.
Now. Praise God. Every now and then, y'all will move in. We can sing a little bit and pray and testify and throw a little snot, sling a few tears, cry a few tears and throw some snot around. Amen. Do a little holy jig dance up on the platform of y'all. Amen. That's right. What if we had to go 400 years and not hear from God? But in the darkest hour, since the fallen man came a man out of the wilderness crying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, John the Baptist came out of preaching. God didn't forget him. Now I'm telling you, God hadn't forgotten his people today. No, sir. Brother Joe, we're living in some trying times and troublous times and times of perplexity and doubt. And hey, and I'm going to tell you, don't look for it to get much better. You know why? Because the Bible said that in the tribulation period that men's hearts will fail them for fear. I don't expect things to get too much better. Doubts and perplexities. But I'm going to say, hey, as one man said when we have on marathons, when all else fails, pray. And that's the way man is. When everything else has failed, he'll pray. God lets us go a long way. I could take you, I believe it's to 107 in the Psalms. I believe it's 107, might be 106, it might be 105. One of those Psalms. But it talks about all these things that Israel did. Then they cried unto the Lord. The Bible said, and He saved them out of all their troubles. Then he said, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness. Hallelujah. Amen. You know what our problem is today? We've just forgot to praise Him for His goodness. He's been good to every one of you of us sitting in this building tonight. Thank God. Better than what we deserve. Amen and amen. He's given us a church to worship God in. Hallelujah to God. Prepared us a home in heaven. Died on the cross. Coming again with life and liberty, ladies and gentlemen, all that believe in Him. Amen. That's right. Thank God. I'm telling you, you think we're living in a dark hour.
Amen.
You haven't seen much, many problems yet. Now, stay right with me. I want to say He's our safety in peril. Turn to Psalm 31. Y'all remember this verse of Scripture? My times are in Thy hands. When I got on that jet a few years ago to head to Mexico, you talking about somebody that was in peril. I thought it was all over, Brother Steve. But when I touched back, or when we touched back down in Nashville, I learned that prayer is my safety. Is my safety. In peril, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, yes. Old Paul said he is in peril to robbers. Perils in the night. Perils in with his own countrymen. Perils in the deep. All kind of perils. Perils amongst robbers. Perils amongst thieves. Paul was in all kind of peril. But he said, out of every one of them, my Lord delivered me.
Amen.
Now I'm telling you, God will deliver you out of your perils too.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. I know He will. He is our prayer is our unfailing resource in adversity. Our unfailing resource in adversity. Brother Steve Pleasant told me Sunday, he said, I'm trying to preach a series on going forward. He said, we've lost these families. He said, I'm trying to tell our people we need to go forward. And I said, well, Brother Steve, maybe it's kind of, and he hadn't preached on this, and I said, maybe it's kind of like Israel. When they reached the Red Sea, Pharaoh was behind them. They couldn't go back. And by the way, you can't go back.
Right. Amen.
There is a mouth of a roaring lion just right on your heels, ladies and gentlemen. You just try to go back and see if Pharaoh ain't right hot on your heels.
Amen.
And there's mountains too high on both sides to cross. Somebody said the Red Sea is in front of us. I'm going to tell you what God told Moses, and it's not even recorded in the Bible. It doesn't record Moses saying a word. But God said, wherefore cross thou unto me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward.
Amen.
Praise God. God said, shut up, whine it around, Moses. Praise God, tell him to go on. I'm sure Moses said, Lord, apparently, I'm in his heart, apparently, Lord, you've not looked at what's out there ahead of us. God said, oh yes, I know exactly what's out there. Just take that little old shepherd's rod, stick it out over the sea, and said, just stand still and behold the salvation of the Lord.
Amen.
That's right. Now I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, he is our unfailing resource. Prayer is in adversity. He said, wherefore Christ thou unto me? It's not even recorded. Moses said a word, but somewhere in Moses' heart, he was a praying. He was praying. And it's not always in outward prayers. You know, Hannah prayed. Her lips moved, but there wasn't a word, not a bit of noise coming out of them lips, not a bit of noise. I'm going to tell you something. It's not in the amount of noise that you make. It's in the condition of your heart. I'm going to tell you something else. It's not in the position of your body. It's in the position your heart's in that matters. Amen. What kind of position your heart in tonight? Is it in a disgruntled position? Is it in a backslidden position? Dry position? I like to see some of you take off, but not like that idiot they talked about on Fox News the other day. He's on a racetrack, Brother Jerome, and he was just warming his wheels up. Tried to clown around for a few folks and slammed through a stand and killed 7 people. I don't want you to quite take off that harsh. But I would like to see some of you take off. May I say also that prayer is our balance in prosperity. Somebody said, preacher, let me read these verses to you. Look in Proverbs. Turn to Proverbs chapter number 30. Proverbs 30 and verse number 7. Two things have I required of thee. Deny me them not before I die. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of the Lord God in vain. Now I'm going to tell you, somebody said, Brother Hall, how is prayer our balance in prosperity? I'm going to tell you how it is. You might get prosperous, but if you can't pray with prosperity, you got pride.
Amen.
Prosperity and pride go hand in hand. Are you listening to me? That's what's wrong with America tonight. Somebody said, oh, Brother Hall, you just don't know how bad I have got it. We ain't using slop jars anymore. Some of you young kids don't even know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about an indoor pot. Most folks got a little air conditioning in their house.
Amen.
Thank God.
Yes.
Most folks got a little food in their belly. You wouldn't believe me if I told you where I ate today. I hate to rub it in on all of you. Now I'm telling you, Sister Hall and I ate at Lambert's today, boys. Praise God. I had pork chops. Smoked pork chops. That fellow throwed a roll and I missed it. It hit a woman slap upside the head. I said, ma'am, I'm sorry. God, help. Throwed that second one. I caught it. I said, I looked any minute for that woman to reach around there and bop me a good one, boy. I'm telling you. God said, roll. I said, here. And he said, hit that woman behind me right in the back of the head. I'm glad it's nice, warm, and moist. What do we lack? We're living in prosperity. And I'm telling you, with prosperity, if you're not careful, comes pride. But I'm telling you this, you cannot pray with pride in your heart. It is an impossibility. You might go through the motions, but you can't get a hold of God. With pride in your heart, you can't, and neither can I. That's why I say it's a balance. It'll keep you humble. Prayer will keep you humble. You're going to have to humble yourself if you're going to get in that throne room. You've got to recognize you're the nobody and He's the somebody. That's why sinners can't get saved today. They're so full of pride. They feel like God owes them something. God don't owe you and I nothing. Every soul in here tonight deserves to be in hell. We are sinners by nature and choice, and we ought to be in hell. Folks, today got the idea God owes them something. Don't you know God owes me this and God owes me that? I'm amazed at preachers today that are constantly moaning and groaning about how little they have and how God's mistreating them and why God won't deliver them. They don't, hey, I'm amazed at men of God that don't realize that God don't pay up on every Friday. And God don't answer prayer when we think God ought to answer prayer. We may pray and it may be a few years down the road before we see them prayers come to pass. And I'll get to that in just a minute. You know what we want? Hey, we've got everything instant drive through. Instant coffee. Instant cappuccino. Microwave suppers. Everything instant, in a hurry. And I'm going to tell you, there's one person you ain't going to hurry, and that's God. When Mary and Martha came and said, Lord, if you'd have been here, our brother had not died. Boy, they said, hey, you're 4 days late. He's already stinks by now. Lord said, hey, just roll away the stone. Well, Lord, he stinketh. Well, he's been dead 4 days. I'm going to tell you something like the song that Sister Woodard sang. He is never late.
Right.
When he's 4 days late, he's always on time. Now I'm telling you, if you have learned to pray and seek God's face and just keep praying and keep praying and keep praying in His time.
Amen.
Is that what you sang, Miss Sharon, in His time? In His time, God will answer. In His time, God will deliver. And He may let the fires get pretty hot before He delivers. You know why He tarries in answering your prayer? To make you more fervent. Come on, Lord! Where are you at, God? Right here, son. Why aren't you delivering me? It's not time, son. When will it be time, Lord, when you learn to rest in my watch care and quit your quibbling and griping and murmuring and learn to worship me? Amen! Learn to come to church and serve me and worship me and rest in me. That's when I'll deliver you. I'm going to tell you, God cannot rescue a struggling soul. God rescues those that turn loose and learn to rest in Him. You understand what I'm saying? A struggling soul. I know a sinner, if he's lost, he's struggling. I understand that. Do you understand what I'm saying? You've got to let God.
Right.
You've got to rest in Him and let Him do the labor.
Amen.
So I'm telling you, we got the idea today the labor is on us. It's not on us, folks. It's on Him.
Amen.
We're laborers together with God. That's why young kids get hurt. They get in a hurry to find a mate. They marry some moron. You ought to never marry outside your race. You ought never marry outside your faith. Now I'm going to tell you young boys and girls in here, the same girl, don't you marry somebody that ain't serving God. Don't even give them a second look. If they're not Christians, and I'm talking about living the light, I'm not talking about saying, oh, I'm saved. I'm talking about proving that they are by the life they live. I'd shake the dust off my feet on them and go on down the road. And I learned a long time ago, too, that some of these jackleg egg suckers will play up real nice, amen, like they're sweet and honey bun, love you to death, until they get married, and then, oh boy, the honeymoon don't last long.
Amen.
Come on in the house. Amen. Prayer's our weapon in every conflict. Prayer. Better get my glasses on for this and I don't know where they're at. I'll just read these other points. My time's gone. Prayer is a key that opens the door to heavenly treasures. That's right. Do you want spiritual treasures? Can I put it this way? And I don't mean to sound like health and wealth boys. But do you want to learn? Do you want to be able to pay your bills and have some money?
Amen.
Learn to give.
Amen.
See, when we've never learned to give, we just don't believe the Bible. I've quoted Luke 6:38, 37, 38 a number of times. Give and it shall be given unto you.
Amen.
Good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over shall men give into your bosom. Brother Calvert, you mentioned that verse of Scripture last night at the church. He said he used to deliver vegetables and fruit to the markets. He said he delivered, I believe he said greens, these greens, kale and greens. They come in little, like half bushel baskets, had that little wooden lid down over them. He said he pulled them hooks off. Said when he had pulled that lid off, said that kale, what would it go, whew, would just jump up out of there. You know why? Because it was pressed down and shaken together. But when you pull the lid off, she runs over. I'm going to tell you, God knows how to pull the lid off and let her run over. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Now, stay right with me. It'll soon be done. Genuine prayer involves number one thought. Psalm 45:1, my heart is inditing a good matter. You're not going to pray until you think about it a while. Sit down. Meditate. Why do you think the Lord in the Psalms put Selah? Stop, meditate on this thing a little while. Think about it. I'm going to tell you, if you'll learn, hey, prayer begins with thought. Prayer begins with a thought.
Amen.
You know, when I started praying about Tucson, Arizona, when, can't remember, when Bob, what's his last name, honey? Mason, in Bible college, turned around to me one night and said, I want you to read this verse of Scripture, and it was Psalm 84:11. He said, boy, that's light, and said, sun and shield, said, that sure make a good name for a Baptist church in Tucson, Arizona, wouldn't it? The Holy Ghost said, I'd never prayed about Tucson, Arizona in my life. I went home that night with that thought and began to pray about it. They're still there. I don't know what they're doing, but they're still there.
Amen.
I don't know how separated they are, but they're still there.
Amen.
They must not be too separated. They won't ever ask me to come out there and preach for them. They can't handle me. I don't guess. I'm ashamed of some of the preachers we've sent out of here. I can tell you some preachers we sent out here that's got evangelists coming in. They ain't invited me to come yet.
Amen.
You know why? They're somewhere that can't handle it.
Amen.
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 Praise God, they need to learn to handle it. They'll never learn to handle it unless somebody tells them. Amen. I know. Prayer is diligent inquiry. Remember I told you a couple weeks ago how David at Ziklag inquired of the Lord. That's the first thing he did. He sat down and he inquired of the Lord. He said, "Shall I pursue? Shall I overtake him?" The Lord said, "Pursue, for you shall surely overtake him." And said, "You're going to regather. You're going to recover everything you've lost." Some of you in here tonight need to go home, take time to sit down and say, "Lord, here's what I've lost. Shall I pursue? Shall I overtake him?" I'll guarantee you the Lord will answer you one way or the other. And I don't believe you've lost a spiritual virtue yet that you cannot overcome by the grace of God and recover.
Amen.
I'm about done now. Prayer is passionate entreaty. What about Hannah? Very loving, very passionate, very caring. How she entreated the Lord for that little boy. I'll never forget the night. Brother Blue preached on her and didn't have a clue. Not a clue that Angie was expecting Kayla. And I think Miss Kim was the first woman to shout, I believe. Y'all remember that night? He preached on Hannah. Nobody had told him how we had been praying God give her a baby. It got on. Genuine prayer is unwearied perseverance. Old Jacob wrestled that angel and would not let go till God blessed him. Prayer is the brightest visions of God. Moses got in that holy place in the cleft of the rock. What a vision of God he had in there. He saw the very heart of God. Prayer is the deepest insight into truth. The deepest insight into truth. And prayer is the highest blessing of the Christian life. May I say to you that, and it borderlines on a couple of things. The most spiritual blessing of Christian life is one of two things. It's either in congregational singing or it's in you personally in a holy place of prayer. Now, I don't know which of the two. But I'm telling you, genuine congregational singing is pretty heavenly. When we're singing from the heart, we're praising God in song. See, there's a lot of ways you can praise God. And one of them is in song. The Bible does say, "Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord." Everything. That's what that fellow got uptight on me about last night. "Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord." It's in the Bible. He was trying to distinguish between New Testament and Old Testament worship. I'm telling you, worship is worship, friend.
Amen.
And praise is praise, no matter whether it's New Testament or Old Testament. They're one and the same. Prayer. If there's anything you and I need is to pray. Let's stand together.